entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, you get double the Jennifer fun. We have Jennifer Noel Taylor on the phone with us, and Jennifer Taylor is an energy healing practitioner as well as a self-help motivator and the CEO of Quantum Touch Incorporated. She has dedicated her life work to helping people discover the healing power of their love and wrote about it in her first book, Love Incorporated. Jennifer graduated from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo with a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Science and a minor in Philosophy. After graduation, she started her first job as a software engineer at a big company in San Diego. And like so many of us, she felt incredibly trapped and depressed at a job that paid the bills but didn't align with her true passion. She innately knew that she had a purpose and felt keenly aware that she was not following her true calling in life. And that's what we're excited to talk to Jennifer about today. So thank you so much for joining us, Jennifer.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
I think this is a topic that resonates with so many of us out there because we all have a job that may pay the bills, but so often for many people, they can go 10, 20, 30 plus years or their entire career doing something that doesn't bring them joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction. So tell our listeners a little bit about your story and how you came to do a 180 degree switch into something that you loved.
Sure. Okay. So my story began at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, where I got a degree in computer science. And I studied computer science because for me, it was really easy. So, and I thought, well, I'm just going to skate by and make it easy and do a career doing this. And so I started that. And when I graduated and got into studying, working full time, I realized that I had made a bad choice because I just didn't like what I was doing. I showed up to work every day. And first of all, the cubicle, I was in a cubicle. There was no windows. It was like refrigerated down to like 50 degrees. This whole thing was just super cold, right? I felt lonely and isolated. And I kind of intuitively knew I was supposed to be doing something else. And, but I didn't know what it was. And, I was really, really depressed because my heart just wasn't into what I was doing 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week.
Yeah.
So I just dragged myself to work every day and was getting more and more depressed. And I ended up outside of work going to massage school because I was really fascinated by massage. And in massage school, we had a portion on energy medicine, and as I studied energy medicine, the universe started talking to me, and I don't know if you're familiar with the still small voice of the heart.
Ah, yes. I just recently discovered it. I never knew the difference. Somebody recently explained to me that the head is the ego and the heart is like the truth or the soul or the spirit, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, your head usually these two are at a disconnect. Like your head is usually saying one thing and your heart is usually saying another thing. That's been my experience at least. So, the head is like into practicality and to doing like things in a logical, rational manner. And the heart saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, I really love this over here. And the head's like, well, that's impractical. Sorry. Just throw that idea away along with all the other crazy ideas you've had. So, you know, that's usually what I've found in my life.
Got it. And yeah. So how did you bridge the gap? Because I know so many people out there who try and fail, and they go out there and say they do decide to become a massage therapist or some sort of energy worker or whatever it is for that person. Maybe it's an actor. It's something that fulfills them, but they are unable to create long-term sustainable success and then often just fall back into what they did before. Did you have any of that experience when you made the transition?
I sure did. So when I started energy medicine, what happened was I got the download from the universe and my heart was saying, okay, energy medicine is your life path. And that was 15 years ago. So already 15 years ago, energy medicine was considered way out there, like woo-woo land, like you're crazy. These were the crazy people, and so I was already kind of cynical about the whole thing. And I told the universe, I said, you're nuts. There's no way. I mean, I love the idea, but that's just crazy. Like, I'll never get any money. I'll never make ends meet doing energy medicine. Well, I still followed my heart because I was intrigued. And I met my my now business partner at a lecture he was doing on energy medicine. And at the lecture, the universe spoke to me again and said, hey, by the way, you're supposed to be running his company. And I'm like, all right, first of all, I don't know this guy. Second of all, I was living in Maui at the time and he was living in California. Third of all, I didn't even know if he had job openings. So how do you just go up to someone and say, by the way, you know, the universe said I'm supposed to run your company.
Well, he was in the industry, so let's hope he was a little bit more amenable to it than some people might be.
Yeah, so actually I didn't say that. I just kind of kept on.
Call.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't just tell him that. He doesn't even know me. But anyway, so we got to get to know each other, and we ended up becoming romantically involved for a little bit. And because I was so depressed at my job, I threw the wind and I quit my job and I moved in with him, and I, you know, went across the ocean from Maui to California and moved in with him. And that was completely random. I didn't really have a job lined up. I really had nothing going on. And my mom called me and said, hey, are you going to get a job? You know, she was panicking. And I told her, I said, Mom, I don't really have plans to get a job, but thanks for your concern.
Aw. That's what moms are for.
That's what moms are for, right? And then like a month after that, the CEO of Quantum Touch said, you know what? This company is failing. I need to get a real job. So I quit, and you're welcome to take it over if you're crazy enough to do it. And I said, sure, why not? So that's kind of how I ended up running Quantum Touch.
Wow.
And yeah. And, you know, the interesting part, too, is that I was of this belief, all right, now I'm doing what I love. The money should just show up now. I really believe that. And, you know, what I was surprised to learn was that the money didn't show up at all. Like, it actually just, you know, was really difficult, a lot harder than I thought.
And so this might be a little discouraging for some of our listeners out there hearing this. They say, okay, great. Well, here we are talking about going after your heart's desire and your passion. And yet you're telling me it was a struggle and you may have failed once or twice, or it may have been a failure or seemed like a failure in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So what would be your advice then to people who are considering that transition of following their passion without, or maybe if they do have to deal with the struggle, how do they handle it, or without the struggle?
Yeah, I hear you. I definitely feel that could be discouraging. But what I feel is going on, though, is that when you're called to follow your heart and do your true calling in life, it's also a path of growth, spiritual growth. It's a path of how to overcome challenges. So really what I feel happened was I got into this and now my learning edge began. So I believe when there's a will, there's a way, for sure. But it wasn't just smooth sailing, kick back with a margarita at the beach type of thing. I actually had to really learn and grow as a person. But as I did that, as I learned, as I grew, as I bettered myself, things improved with the business. So I feel like sometimes when we do what we love, it's really a growth path as well.
And I think that it ties into your next book that you're working on now called Spiritual and Broke, right?
Yeah, I really go in describing really in depth my journey about, you know, how struggling with the money part. I had a big aha moment where I turned my whole relationship with money around and paid off all my debt and started to create the financial success that I was intending to do a long time ago. So that was a big part of my learning, but so I describe in depth like what I learned to turn my finances around.
Wow. And again, it's something that I think a lot of people do go into debt following their dream or their passion, whether it's their own startup company or perhaps it's pursuing something artistic or perhaps even acting. We see it a lot in the Los Angeles area. So if somebody were out there and they're thinking, gosh, you know, I really think that X is my dream and I want to go there, what steps would you tell them to take in order to be powerfully set up for success, even if it means that there are going to be some bumps around along the way?
That's a great question. So first of all, I feel like everyone's situation is unique, and I really believe in following your heart every step of the way. And sometimes I call that also divine guidance, or if you're familiar with connecting to your divine guidance or guides or spirit guides or you know, really connecting with that, because that's something that I feel helped me along the way. Because when I followed my heart, when I followed my guidance, things generally worked out. And when I actually said, oh, you know, I'm not going to follow that, thank you very much, and I kind of went off and did my own thing, usually that did not work out. So I really am a big proponent of really listening to what your heart and your guidance is saying, despite what other people are saying.
And so for those listeners out there who might be scratching their heads and saying, what the heck is this Jennifer Noelle Teller talking about guides and listening to your heart? Let's take a step back for a moment and talk about how you can be more in tune with what is for your highest and best good, whether you have any prior spiritual training. What would be your advice to start down that path?
Okay, well, that's a great question. So really what I feel is to connect with your heart involves opening your heart, right? So a lot of people, especially in our society, you were trained to make like really rational, logical choices. So this is a really foreign concept, I feel like, to a lot of people. And but I think at some point in everyone's life, we've all had a moment where we've heard, I like to call it the still small voice of the heart, or some people like to call it God, the voice of God, where we've heard kind of a deeper message that resonates with us really deeply on a soul level. So part of it is just tapping into your feeling again. I think animals do this naturally. Like if you've observed your pets, they're all feeling, they're all heart. They're just completely connected. So I believe one of the secrets is to get back into connecting with your feeling. And there's a lot of ways to do that. For some people, it's meditation. For me, I'm a very simplistic type of person. So I just like to spend some time doing what I love and getting into a space of gratitude and love. And when you're in that space, you can start to hear what your heart's really telling you.
Hmm. I think that's great advice, and something I'll put out there as well to our listeners. It was funny, the other day I was talking to a job seeker who was getting ready to go into an interview, and I happened to be in the car with my husband and driving him home from the airport, and he overheard me speaking to somebody, and she had to call me back, and he said, honey, is she like me or is she like you? Meaning, is she logical and left brain like him, or is she more right brain and a little more woo-woo like me? And I said, you know, babe, that's a good question. I don't know. And he said, you have to make sure that whoever you're speaking with, you speak to them in their language. And I had been talking about how our words create our world and how you know, it's going to naturally lead us. The person was saying it's hard and she's a horrible interviewer. And, you know, so I went into this whole thing from the woo-woo standpoint. And my husband said, you know, sometimes it's helpful to tie in the science standpoint too, in case that's where the person is coming from, that there's actually science to back up the languaging thing as well. And so I say that because for everything you just shared, you gave some great advice for those of us who might be a little bit more right brain or naturally more in tuned with our inner knowing. But for those left brain people out there who might not resonate with that languaging as much, I will say that, you know, from a left brain standpoint, if you don't consider yourself perhaps to be as spiritual or interested in that, for many people, it's just intuition. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's following that intuition. It's like, for example, another way to look at this is, let's say we've all had that experience, like we're driving down the highway and we know when the person next to us is looking at us. Right? Because you're feeling something from them. I believe it's based on, or you walk into a room and it has like a weird feeling and your intuition's telling you to leave. And animals do this, you know, they get like messages that tell them how to navigate their life. So I do feel it's intuition. And also, like, what is it that you really, really love? That's a question I ask myself a lot. Like, what is it that I really love?
Yeah, I think it's a great question to play with. And I loved what you said about how you kind of center into something you love and that opens up your heart. So whether you're right brain or left brain, I think just doing whatever makes you feel joy and bliss. And for some people, not going to lie, my husband, it could be playing video games. You know, for other people, it might be golf or swimming or art. And I think that when you're in that flow of doing something you love, that perhaps what you're saying is it just naturally opens your heart up more and allows you to connect to your intuition at an easier level where it might be too subtle otherwise to hear it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The still small voice of the heart is super subtle. So if you have all this noise walking around in your head, it's harder to hear. So when you to calm down all the head stuff, and that can help you listen to your heart. So that's why meditation for many people really helps, because it turns off that mind chatter.
Yeah, I think it's become extremely popular lately. In fact, there was a great meditation app I was turned on to recently called Insight Timer. Have you heard about that one?
You know, I haven't heard about that one.
It's pretty fun. One of my clients who was really stressed out at her office and was just having anxiety-related issues, wasn't sure what to do. We started talking about meditation, and she started using this app every morning on her train ride. And she went from being full-blown anxious and not clear what her path was to all of a sudden getting a promotion to her dream job. And now she just does that 1 hour on the train every morning. She listens to one of their meditations. And I think it's a really awesome free app. I've used it once or twice myself. But I think if you're out there and you're saying, what is all this talk about meditation and connecting to your heart? It might be a great starter program. Or even I think there's another one called Headspace out there that's supposed to be pretty great as well.
Yeah, I think that stuff is great, because what I personally feel like is when you start opening the heart, it then acts kind of as a guidance system to guide you into what you really want to do. And so I'll give you an example too, with doing what I love, doing this business. My heart has been a great guidance system, and I've always gotten myself into more trouble when I've listened more to my head than my heart. And so, for example, in making hiring decisions, I've made mistakes in hiring because the person looked really great on paper. They looked like they had all the qualifications. But at the same time, you know, something within me was saying, oh, no, you know, this person looks great, but not really, you know, there's something off. But I ignored that. And I hired the person anyways. And, you know, turned into problems, a lot of problems hiring that person. So I feel like when we really follow the heart, it helps us make fully aligned decisions.
Matt, I agree with you 100%. From my perspective, I would call it intuition on the recruiting end. And when you meet somebody and you just know intuitively they're going to be a match either with your organization, or in my case, when I do recruiting for other people, I agree with that statement fully, because there have been times where I can just meet person A and know client B and intuit that they're going to be a perfect match. And it's about just listening to that heart and listening to that quiet voice and just trusting your intuition rather than going after the one who looks right on paper. And I have to coach my clients all the time not to hire the best one on paper or the prettiest or the most polished person who comes in, because you'll wind up making a decision based on the wrong things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've done that multiple times and then regret it, right? And then lately, after I learned my lesson, because you can spend a lot of money with bad hiring decisions, which yeah. I've done. In fact, one of my bad hires, to speak, when I finally figured out it wasn't working, I let her go and she ended up filing a claim with our company that cost us a lot of money. And, you know, we were completely doing the right thing, but it was just the nature of her personality. So it was like a mistake all along that ended up really costing us a lot of money. So following your heart can really help with the financial piece.
So talk to me about that part. You said that when you first went into pursuing this new career, you moved out to California. You said that financially the money didn't come right away. So how can you follow your heart without breaking the bank?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I feel like a couple things are at play with that. The first one I was covering a lot, because I feel like it's really important, making decisions that are fully aligned rather than just trying to use logic. Because that was one area where when I started making what I call fully aligned decisions, where your heart, intuition, and mind are all on board, usually those are the right decisions. So one way to align the finances is to stop wasting money. And I was the master at wasting money, making bad mistakes that would cost a lot of money. And I did it over and over again. So when I finally was able to figure out how to be fully aligned with my expenses, that was one area where it really helped our business. Because it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep, which I've really started to learn.
Yeah, so. It's so important. And I can refer earlier this year, I think it was January 16th, we had a business manager on the show. And I remember being floored when he suggested, he used to manage money for A-list celebrities and so forth. And he said you should really keep an Excel spreadsheet of what goes in and what goes out every day. Now, that may seem tedious, but especially if you're thinking of making a transition or doing something you've never done before, it could be a really good foundation, not only for the in-between of the transition, but also for creating that new career in whatever it is you're going to do, so that you have a healthy relationship, like you said, with the money that you have coming in and coming out.
Yeah, I feel like any business can create alignment with the money if they really evaluate how they spend it. Because I think all businesses tend to bring in money. So, I mean, everyone makes money in business. It's just a lot of businesses struggle because there's more going out. So that was just a big learning edge for me. And I do believe in really tracking your expenses. And you know, before I started tracking our expenses, there was this bill that I was paying every month that I just ignored. You know, you just pay your bills. So you just kind of like, oh, another check to write. And then I actually, when I started really delving into my expenses, I actually looked at the bill and I'm like, huh, what is this for? You know, I don't know what this is for. What am I paying for? Well, it turns out I was paying a bill for an internet connection that we had turned off 5 years ago at a house.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, you get so many bills in business. Sometimes the small ones you just ignore. You're like, oh, that bill's for $50, whatever. And I realized, wow, I spent $5,000 over the last 5 years paying this bill for a service that we haven't used and, you know, that should have been turned off. So even those little things can really add up. So that was, yeah.
It's a good point, because sometimes, too, if you just open yourself up to it, today I'm getting ready to go on a trip in September to Europe, and I always call AT&T to set it up and to make sure they know I'm going to be out of the country and set up an out-of-the-country plan. And the guy was my hero. I talked to him for all of 5 minutes, and he said, oh, by the way, all I have to do is put you on this new plan. We'll save you, you know, $70 a month on the plan you already have, and you'll get, you know, free the same plan you have in Europe for $10 a day when you're in Europe. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how did that even happen? And I've been going to Europe since the day I opened my company, and nobody ever suggested this to me before. And sometimes it's just about bringing awareness to things that you didn't need or didn't know you needed. And for me, I would have normally hung up because I hate it when people try to sell me something or, you know, change me into a new plan, because it just seems like a lot of work. But there's also a lot of cost-saving options, especially when you're starting out, if you're creating a new business for yourself.
Yeah, another thing I notice with business owners too is, you know, too much infrastructure up front. Before the money really starts coming in, and there's this desire to do, like, we're going to do the best website and we're going to create like all this different infrastructure stuff. Like, I talk to a lot of business owners who that's where they go when they just start. I'm like, you know, it would help if I can make a suggestion. What I've learned is start off small with the infrastructure and then build it as your cash flow comes in, rather than creating this massive infrastructure without a cash flow. That was one mistake that I made as well, is I would really beef up my infrastructure before we were actually ready for it financially.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to prioritizing where the money is going to and realizing that from a cash flow standpoint, you're probably better off to have more in the bank initially in case you do come up against some slow times in your business or in your transition into a new career.
Yeah, and a lot of things I also notice with business owners is a lot of people have the goal to break even. They don't have the goal to make a profit, especially in the healing space. Everyone's goal is like, well, we just want to break even. We just want to make ends meet. And there's really, I feel like it helps a business when your goal is to actually make a profit, because then you can save money and have money, as you said, have money saved for those slow times. And I've just noticed so many people say, well, I just want to make ends meet. But setting your goals differently, perhaps, can be helpful.
Yeah, I think it comes back to the languaging. I hear it so much in the job hunting side of things and people on the business side, where they are looking for like a very low amount or a set amount, and they don't really play with it. And a lot of people can't figure out why they've never made large amounts of money or had greater success, whether it's in their own passion or in a job that they're in. And it's often because there's that great quote of, you ask the universe for a penny and it would have gladly given you more, something to that effect. I can't remember it exactly, but it's true. If you ask for a penny, you'll get a penny. If you ask for 100,000 and follow that up with the action to, you know, generate that, you know, revenue, it will come to you, but you have to have your action times that intention that equals your success.
Yes. And I think one of the mistakes I made early on was setting inadequate goals. I would say, well, we only want to lose 5,000 this month. That would be fine. You know, I would set these weird goals that really weren't optimal. They were just kind of these survival level goals. And every business owner wants to get to the point where they're out of survival mode. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah. And so let's say hypothetically, though, that we have somebody out there who's the breadwinner in their family, and it was their dream that they forgot about a long time ago to either be, you know, something that they're not doing now. Could be an artist, scientist, astronaut. I mean, who knows what it could be, but they are the breadwinner. How would you go about telling that person to go and follow their dream?
Well, in the case of if you need to bring in a certain amount of money per month, I don't recommend doing what I do, actually. I don't recommend just taking that leap and saying willy-nilly to the universe and just risking your financial future like I did, especially if you have dependents or people to take care of. I was in a situation where I didn't have anyone to take care of. So what I do recommend is, if you're wanting to switch careers and pursue your passion, to start having a couple of years of savings in the bank. So you can set yourself up saying, all right, I'm going to live off my savings while I take the time to get the business rolling, so that you don't put yourself in jeopardy. Another way that I recommend is doing your true passion, starting it off as a part-time job. Like for me, I went to massage school outside of work at the evenings and weekends. So you can start building your business while you still come, because there's nothing worse than removing your stable income and then trying to build your business with all that pressure that it makes money right away and then being in panic all the time.
Yeah, I think it creates that animalistic survival modality. And from even from a spiritual or from an intuitive standpoint, it's very hard to create when you're in survival mode. So if you're not properly set up to take care of yourself, even if it's just you or if it's you and a family, I think that you're going to set yourself up for unnecessary upset. And it'll be a much harder struggle if you're in survival mode rather than thriving mode.
Yeah, I feel like I've spent a lot of time in survival mode, and that feeling of angst, wondering, well, how am I going to pay my employees, pay my mortgage, and, you know, pay for food? And just, you know, one thing that was really stressful for me was seeing my credit card balance just completely at the limit all the time. So my credit card had a $35,000 limit on it. My balance was about that. So seeing that level of debt can be really stressful because your interest alone is pretty much, you know, a lot of money per month. And you're just like, I can't get ahead. I'm freaking out. So if you have savings and backup, which once I figured that piece out, it's a really good idea to have some backup funding and made it a goal to consistently save every week. It's just got so much more relaxing.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's great advice. And so how did you make the transition then from having gone from being at your limit all the time and paying high interest in order to be able to thrive, do your passion, and get to zero debt? What was that like?
So, well, the first thing that I had to do was get out of blame mode. Because initially, you know, I was like, ah, universe, you suck. You know, like, here I am, I'm doing service, and there's just no money coming in, and this is horrible. And I was just blaming God all the time. I was, you know, mad at the universe and just complete blame mode. Or I'd have something else to blame, like, you know, the president or healthcare system or employees or taxes. Like, I was always blaming something for my problems financially. And once I realized that, wow, like, I'm actually really responsible for this, I need to take ownership and take my power in this and stop blaming and actually do something about it. That was a big wake-up call for me when I finally got into, all right, I'm going to take ownership and I'm going to actually make this happen. And realizing that no matter what your situation is, you can turn it around. You have the capability to do it. And for me, it was the first step is just getting out of blame. Because if you start blaming everything, you have no power. You just gave your power all away. So yeah, that was the biggest, you know, turnaround that I had to do.
I think that's a great piece of advice, and not just for finances, but also for any endeavor, be it your current job you're in, the job you want to get, the career transition you want to make. One of the things I learned from my business coach, Julian Adler, years ago was something called the drama triangle, where you have the hero, the victim, and the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. And any time that you feel like you're being victimized or you're trying to save somebody else, you know, or you're the one who's quote unquote perpetrating, anytime there's blame, you're in the drama triangle. And until you get out of that, the only way to get out of it is accountability. And the moment you become 100% accountable for your circumstances, not blaming anybody or anything, you have your power back. And then that's when you're free to create what you want.
Yeah. And once I got my power back, then I looked at it from the standpoint that really helped, although it may seem very childlike what I'm going to say, is I looked at it, I'm like, okay, well, I write every check that goes out of the business. I'm responsible for everything I'm spending money on. And I also am responsible for bringing money in. So if I'm responsible for both pieces, all I need to do is just spend less than I bring in. You know, just, I mean, it was a simple idea, but until I took my power back, it didn't really dawn on me that I just needed to balance this out myself, right? I know it may seem silly, but I had that realization, wow, I spend the money, I make the money. I just need to balance it. And I know if you're married, you know, it's the same thing. You know, we spend the money, we need to balance it. And I think once you own that level of responsibility that you're not a victim, then it's up to you to figure out how to balance it. And it may mean some life changes, which was the second hard piece for me.
Got it. And what life changes did you have to make?
Well, first of all, I personally was spending way too much on housing. And I knew it, but as a victim, I didn't have to make any changes. Once I took responsibility, I'm like, wow, look at how much money I spent on housing. Jeez. So I really shifted my housing situation. Like I, you know, cut my housing costs by a third. I went really dramatic because I said, I need to balance this out. So I had to take a really honest look at myself and see like, where am I spending money that's really not in alignment with my truth? And housing was one big factor. Another was, you know, wasting money on employees or things that really didn't serve. Another one is what I call a gazingas pen. Okay, so there's this book called Your Money or Your Life, and they have this term in the book called gazingas pen, which is the expense that you spend money on that you don't really need, but it's just like a habit. So for some people, the gazingas pen may be like shoes. Like you have 30 pairs of shoes, and yet there's another pair of shoes you want it.
That is a real need, Jennifer. I am here to tell you, it is not a gazingas pen. I'm totally kidding. Not at all, but I diverge. Go ahead.
Yeah, and if it's a need, that's cool, you know. But for me, some of the things I spent money on weren't really needs. They were kind of more like habit, or I want to make myself feel better, so I'm going to spend money on this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I had to, you have to discern the difference. I mean, yeah, if the shoes are a need, then that's awesome.
I was being facetious, but I get it.
And but there's, you know, for example, I had this thing with throw pillows. Like I could spend hundreds of dollars on little decorating things. And it was because I had bigger places to live than I needed, where my whole housing situation was just a massive expense, you know, that I didn't need. So it was just an honest look at like, where am I spending money because I need to versus where am I spending money because I'm trying to make myself feel better or compensate for a problem in my life.
I think that's brilliant. So to recap kind of what you've talked about, you first have to look at and connect to your heart or your intuition and figure out what is it that you truly love and just open yourself up to that. And two, be responsible first. Don't blame anybody else and look at your circumstances and make sure that you have a solid foundation to build whatever you're going to build on, be it a new career, transitioning, creating your own business, whatever that might look like. And then just being honest with yourself about what you do and don't need in your life. So that way you're setting yourself up powerfully to not be in a position to blame situations, circumstances, finances, et cetera. And so you can be powerfully set up to kind of create your new future.
Yeah. And I wanted to add too about the expenses. One thing that really I started to focus on is, am I spending money on only things that I love? So it's another kind of corollary to doing what you love is looking at, do I really love that pair of shoes? Yeah. Or do I just want a pair of shoes, like, for example?
Yeah, and I think it's so true is that we fill our lives up with a lot of empty things that are meaningless and that fill a void very briefly, but then they don't bring lasting fulfillment. Where if you look at having your dream job, that's something that could bring you a lifetime of fulfillment, joy, and satisfaction versus 100 pairs of shoes or throw pillows or video games or whatever it might be for people, and just really looking on where you want to invest that time and energy.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, because I feel like it's really putting all your time and energy to what you actually love.
Yeah.
Be it what you purchase or, you know, what you're doing. And when I started really looking at that and realized all the stuff in my house that I don't really love, but it's just sitting here, it was just kind of a wake up call of like, what's really important to me?
That's brilliant.
I
think that's the takeaway is for anybody out there who's listening, tuning in now or later down the road, just ask yourself, what is really important to me, and play with it and see what that brings up for you in your heart and your intuition and in your career and life path of choosing what it is rather than living your life reacting to everything and everyone around you.
Yeah, it may be surprising what you discover, what's really important. And I sometimes liken it to overeating, you know, overspending and overeating seem to go together sometimes. You know, you're depressed about something. You're like, man, that piece of chocolate cake is looking really good right now. And, you know, same thing with spending for me. It was, wow, I'm really depressed about my relationship. So I'm going to go out and buy a new dress. But it's not resolving the problem. It's just kind of making myself feel better in the moment.
Yeah. And I will leave everybody with this as well. One of the things that a spiritual teacher of mine just had told me about this month, particularly, is it all comes down to just kindness, being kind to ourselves and kind to others, and looking at how that ties into our life. And if you look at all the junk that we fill our lives up with, rather than meaningful relationships, careers that bring us joy and satisfaction, it all comes down to just being kind to ourselves, being kind to others, and being willing to look at what's worth it in our lives to invest time and energy in, rather than just filling our lives up with empty, meaningless stuff.
That's very well said. I fully agree.
Awesome. Well, Jennifer, please tell all of our listeners where they can find your upcoming book. I know you have Love Incorporated. Is that already available on Amazon as well?
Yeah. So I have a book called Love Incorporated. It's available on Amazon. And then I'm working on a new book called Spiritual and Broke, because I was spiritual and broke. And it's basically how to follow your heart without breaking the bank. And it's basically everything I learned about doing that. And I'll have more information soon. You can look that up on my website at jennifernoeltaylor.com. And I'll keep updating that. It's a work in progress right now. So, awesome. Thank you very much.
It's been so wonderful to have you on the show. And I invite everybody to tune in next week on Labor Day. Either tune in live at 4 p.m. or you can always catch the show after on the archive of the show website on LA Talk Radio or on iTunes for our interview with Joanna Bloor. And we're going to be talking about, how is job hunting like dating? So stay tuned next week, and you're always welcome to comment, leave us any feedback you might have on iTunes or on our Facebook page, which is also Get Yourself the Job. Thank you so much, Jennifer, and we'll tune in next week.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.